Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back to CUTV News Radio. Nice to have you with us. I'm excited because Renee Barata is back with us again. I know you've probably heard some of her interviews here on CUTV News Radio in the past. She is such an accomplished lady, executive, who does many different things and has different companies and new ones coming up. She's pretty fascinating, and she has talked with us a lot about her company called CEO Essence, which is where she coaches office business coaching. But we're going to be talking with her about her background in the oil and gas and electrical engineering industry, which is really pretty doggone fascinating. And she is highly educated in this field and highly experienced. She is an experienced hazard and risk assessment consultant. She provides technical expertise in product safety and risk management in the petroleum, environmental, and electrical engineering fields, and she has provided training, safety, and operations guidance to facilities throughout the United States and also offshore, for example, in China. Highly educated with a BA in applied physics, a BS in applied mathematics, and more initials after her name that I now have any idea of what they mean, but it just means she knows what she's doing. It's interesting. She's been an engineer with a number of major industries, companies that you would know, and it was while working with some of these companies and a consulting firm that she realized there was a need for quality control and accountability among consultants in the industry. And it was due to this need she started her own company called Risk Integrity Safety Knowledge, RISC. And with her language skills in Portuguese and Spanish, she's also able to expand the awareness of product safety management in countries throughout the world, not just here in the United States. This is an industry you don't expect women to go into for the most part and doing things like she has done. So it's really fascinating to focus on this aspect of her career on this broadcast today. I'm really intrigued by what she's done, how she's done it, and it's a delight to have her back with us here on CUTV News Radio. She's based right now in Spring, Texas, near Houston, which is where anyone involved in the petroleum industry would be headquartered. You can understand that. And it's going to be a hot day in the Houston area today. So let's welcome her back, Renee Barata. Renee, welcome. How are you today? Nice to have you with us.
Thanks, Doug. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm great. And as I said, I'm excited to talk to you because you're doing something that most women I know have no clue about or interest in.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, when you went to school, when you went to college, this was a field you wanted to get into engineering. And I'd like to look back a little bit about what got you into the field in the beginning, and then we'll take you through the industry, and then we'll take a look at how things have changed for women since you got into this business. So
okay.
What fostered your interest in this to begin with? How would you answer that?
So that's a loaded question. I have always enjoyed math and science, and I had a father who encouraged me to pursue that love of math and sciences. So when I got into college, I actually started out in languages, actually. That was my focus when I first started in college. But I ended up in physics. And I ended up in physics because it was the first time that I actually had to struggle a little bit to get a decent grade. And so I had to conquer that beast. And I know that's kind of counterintuitive for a lot of people. They'll go to something that's a little easier. But for me, it was I needed to learn and master this thing that was difficult for me. So I ended up in physics. Yeah. Kind of crazy.
Good for you. God bless you.
thanks. So then from there, I ended up, when I finished with my degrees, I got the Bachelor of Arts in Applied Physics, and I got the Bachelor of Science in Mathematics. I ended up working for an electrical firm in Southern Oregon. That's where we were living. That's where I went to school and went to work for them. And they had some new regulations that came out around the electronics industry that would impact the production of the things that we were building. And so I was tasked with understanding how that would impact us in writing all of the procedures around it. So understand, and it was an environmental regulation that came out. And so getting into that and digging into that, I realized that there was a lot of information I didn't know about environmental and process safety in general. Well, then my husband took a job in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, and so I followed him down, and I ended up working in a refinery down there. And while at work at the refinery, I ended up assisting all of the engineers there in what we call process hazard analysis. And so I came by it, not, that wasn't like where I was headed into when I started in school. It just kind of happened that way for me. It was an industry I didn't even know existed when I started college.
Wow. That's really fascinating that you got it. What were you actually doing when you got that job? What kind of things were you assigned to do? Not only that, but another question I wanted to ask. When you were doing, you know, studying physics, majoring in physics, heading for these degrees, were you one of few women, or were there a lot of women interested in this field at that time?
So I was one of few. In the physics department, I think there were three of us. And maybe there were four, but very, very few. There were very few in the math, although there were more in the math department. And in fact, at the time, the head of the math department was a woman. In the chemistry, there were more women. It was closer to maybe a 40-60 split, excuse me, but still very few women in the math and sciences in comparison. Now, that particular university where I was going was more of a liberal arts, and so they encouraged more women. It was more open as far as that went, and it was a very different realm to enter as a woman.
And I would assume in the companies that you worked, you were somewhat of a rarity because there weren't many other women like you there. Am I right again?
Yes. There are more and more women entering the engineering world, but we're still outnumbered. We're still outnumbered. Easy, maybe a 2-to-1 or even a 3-to-1. And some companies that I've been to, I don't recall ever working with a woman with some of the organizations that I've been with.
So you were heavily involved in safety management. That was one of the major things you got involved in, right? Explain what was, and this was at a refinery.
Correct.
You know, most of us have no idea what goes on in a refinery. We see them. They look very complex, you know.
But they are.
Tell us a little bit about what you were faced with there.
So refineries or any organization that has hazardous chemicals, whether they're toxic chemicals or they're flammable materials, if they have quantities over a certain amount, a certain threshold, they are required by law to maintain a process safety program. And those programs are designed to protect the employees of the companies, to protect the environment, and protect the people around them, so outside of the fence line. And so one of the aspects that I do is a process hazard analysis. That's one component of it. There's 14 different components to a process safety program. And a process hazard analysis, we look at the plant and we ask questions like, okay, if this valve fails, what is the worst thing that could happen? Now that you've identified what the worst thing is, what are some of the safeguards that you have? Excuse me. Once you've identified the safeguards, you ask the question, well, are those safeguards robust enough? Are they going to act fast enough? Are they maintained to a level where they're really going to protect you? And if any of the questions are, no, we don't have enough safeguards, or no, the safeguards aren't robust enough, then we make recommendations. And so that's what I do in a simplified term.
Right.
There's a variety of other things. We also do auditing. So we, because of these programs that they're required by law to have, they have to audit their programs to make sure that their programs meet the integrity of the law. And so we also go in and we help companies audit their programs. And so we do a variety of things.
Look, I understand. You've done so much in your background, and then you've started this company, and you work with a number of different industries. I know you work with the chemical and the petrochemical industries, but out of the blue, you also work with the food and beverage industry, which that seems really out of place. I don't know. what do you do with the food and beverage industry?
Well, you know, this is something that I think surprises a lot of people, but food and beverage industries, they oftentimes have things like ammonia. Ammonia in the refrigeration system is a flammable material, flammable and toxic. So it's part of the refrigeration system. It's not actually part of the food and beverage, but they have enough on hand that they could blow up the plant, for example, or they could gas out the people that are working there. So, you know, they're still required by law to have this process safety program in place because of the quantity of ammonia they have on hand to keep the refrigeration system cooled.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. So there is a connection there. I mean, you're advising you're advising refineries on what, and you know, we all know every now and you hear. I mean, I lived in Southern California, and occasionally there, you know, there are refineries around Los Angeles, and occasionally there would be a huge explosion in one of them, and the refinery would be knocked out of operation for, you know, a period of time, and all of a sudden everybody's price of gas goes up. It happens. So what you do is critical. And hopefully you help spot problems before, you know, before they become serious and
well,
things
that's
happen.
Well, the goal. That's, you know, when we sit down and we do a process hazard analysis, that's what we're – that's the goal, is to try and identify things before they happen. And that's why I do what I do, because I enjoy problem solving and solution finding, and I enjoy doing it before somebody gets hurt.
Well, let me ask you about the founding of the company, RISK, R-I-S-K, which again stands for Risk, Integrity, Safety, Knowledge, Inc. Mm-hmm. You founded this company. I mean, there are a number of you involved in the company. What made you found this company? Are you a rarity? Are there a number of companies like you, or are you one of the only ones that specializes in that?
No, there are several of us, several organizations like myself around the world. And I worked for one of my competitors, and one of the things that I struggled with was the management style of the company that I worked with before. And so when I looked around at some of the other organizations that were in the same line of work, they were similar management styles, and it didn't work well for me. And I wanted a company where there was more cooperation happening, there was more training happening, there was more quality assurance happening. And so I started my own company where I could put those things in place. And so one of the very first things that I did is to implement a robust training program so that people coming in would get the training that they needed to do the type of work we do consistently. So what I wanted was that if a company called us to come in and do this type of work, I wanted them to be confident that whether they got me or one of the people that I work with, they were going to get the same level of quality. So we implemented the training program. We also implemented a quality assurance program. So everybody's work gets QA'd, including my own, and we go through, we look at, is the documentation style, is it correct? Are things identified in a manner that makes sense? Are the safeguards, you know, are they truly independent of other safeguards? Are they independent of the cause? So we have a whole long checklist of things that we look at, and we QA every single document that goes through our process.
Tell me, number one, who hires you? I mean, are we talking about the big giant petrochemical companies, things of that nature? Are they smaller firms, or is it kind of a mixture of both? And then when they hire you, what do they bring you in for? Let's look at that.
So we work with some of the big giants, and we work with some of the small little mom-and-pop shops.
Mm-hmm.
And everything in between. We work with, like you said, gas and oil, chemical, petrochemical, and food industry as well. So we work across the board as well. And they bring us in because they're required to do these studies on their processes every 5 years. So they'll bring us in to do that. We have helped several organizations update their procedures and update their policies around what their process safety program is. We've helped them update their process hazard analysis procedures. We've helped them actually do the process hazard analysis or audit against their process programs. So they bring us in for a variety of reasons. And once we're in working with an organization, if we spot something that we're like, yes, you meet the letter of the law, but industry standards are a little bit different than that, and we might want to take a look at that. We also work with them or even just educate them. I've spent a lot of time just talking with organizations and helping them understand what is a better way of doing something. Because I work with such a wide variety of organizations, I often will share best practices with some of the other organizations. And, you know, that to me is one of the benefits of being in a position like I'm in and having such a wide variety of people that I work with, that I can bring best practices to other organizations so we can help raise the bar across the board.
So when a company does bring you in, how long would you typically be involved with them to do a, you know, an analysis of their safety systems and management? Would it be just a short period of time or ongoing?
It depends. So it really depends, right? So all of our clients that we work with now, we have long-term relationships with. So they'll bring us in for this project, and then that might be a 2-week project, and then they'll bring us in for another one that might be a 5-week project. Another one might be a 2-day project. So depending on what they're trying to do, the project length will be very different. But because of the way we do business, we work very hard to have a solid relationship with the companies. And so we are often, in fact, with every company we work with, we're one of 2 or 3 preferred vendors for that organization.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you're involved in such a complex field, and I'm also prompted to ask you, when you make suggestions to a company, be it a big giant or a small mom and pop operation, that would cause them to spend money to make changes, you know, to improve their safety factors, mm-hmm. do they listen to you and do they act?
So, yes. If we have the justification for the recommendation, yes, they do. And if there's no justification for it, but it's just a, hey, this is a really good idea, they'll look at it, they'll review, they'll do a cost-based analysis on it and say, well, you know, yeah, it makes sense, and there's a good business opportunity here as well. And so oftentimes they'll do it then as well. There are times that they don't, and that's fine. You know, the recommendations are simply that, they're recommendations. But if it's a safety-related and they know that they're short of something, they may not do exactly what was recommended, but they'll have they'll get another team of engineers together, because I work with engineers, operations, and management in my teams. So they'll get a group of engineers together that will look at that specific thing, and they'll determine whether that recommendation is the right recommendation for this or whether they should do something a little bit different. And that's fine as long as they do something if they know they have a gap.
When companies call you and you begin to describe your service, what do you tell them? What do you tell them you're going to do that makes them make the decision to bring you in? How do you describe it to them?
Well, so when they call us, they usually know what they're looking for as far as they know they need to do the process hazard analysis. And so they're looking for our type of company anyway. Often we'll have them use us instead of one of our clients or, you know, one of our competitors is the fact that we do have the quality assurance program in place. So we look at, we build on the quality and the integrity of our company. And so our reputation is based on that. And so that's why they end up using us as opposed to somebody else.
Do you think you have gone into a company and discovered a potential hazard about to happen and that you've been able to help avoid something like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've been in situations where we have identified something and they were in the process of putting in the recommendation that we had made during our hazard analysis. And then the event occurred. Fortunately, nobody was hurt in the event. But, it was an eye-opening situation for a lot of people to recognize that, you know, we do these hazard analysis for a reason. So, you know, they were very fortunate in this that particular situation that nobody was hurt, but they could have been.
Well, you know, it's so technical what you do. But we started off talking about women in this field. Do you find many women in the companies that you're working with now that have, you know, positions of authority that it's a good industry for women to be in?
I don't find very many women. I work with very few women, and like I said, I work with teams of management, operations, and engineering. And I would say less than 5% of the people that I've worked with have been women. Now, there are organizations that I work with that have women in positions of authority, but it's few and far between.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Not surprised at all. Are there some factors in the industry that you think that make it more difficult to attract and retain women? How about that?
Well, yes and no. So I think that some of the bigger companies are working to, you know, they recognize that women are the ones that are most likely to stay home when they have children. They're the ones that are most likely to need or request flex scheduling, for example. So some of the big companies are starting to put programs in place for that, and even for the engineers that are out in the field, which I think is fantastic. So I do see some changes happening that are designed to help bring women into the organizations. What I still am not seeing is the management style is still very much a very competitive environment, that they may have a process where they say, okay, 20% of our management is going to be women. We have this policy in place. You know, they put a stake in the ground where they're going to promote this many women to a management position. Well, that creates such a competition as opposed to just simply promoting people based on their abilities. So while they're making some changes to go that direction, some of the other processes or practices that they have still don't encourage women to be in those positions. Or if women want to be in those positions, it it creates such a competition between the women that they really don't have the opportunity to get to those positions of power because there's just not enough opening up to that.
Well, it's a challenge for them. You know, I'm impressed with what you've been able to do because we pointed out you have another company you do called CEO Essence where you coach women. You know, you're offering them your advice from your experience in this industry. And of course, those are women, I guess, from all kinds of industries, some men too as well, but mostly women. And here, we're going to talk about this with you next week. You're involved in founding a fashion line. That's something totally different. Where do you get the time to do all of this? I mean, you're a big-time executive, CEO, founder, and look at what you're doing. Are you having fun?
Yes.
Let me put it that way. How about that? Are you?
I am. And, you know, I have the time because I have such a supportive husband. He's actually a stay-at-home dad. And so he really helps take care of kids and the house and really is very supportive of everything that I do. So I'm very, very blessed with that. But and he encourages me to pursue the things that just I find fascinating.
And not only that, you mentioned to me before we went on the air that you're actually planning a move, so that you can run this company really wherever in the world you are, and you're about to move to Italy.
That is correct.
That sounds exciting too. I mean, you know, what an exciting life you're having. Are you excited about this? You got to be.
Oh yes. We live life to the fullest. And so I think that's one of the things when I'm working with people, with teams, whether it's in the company Risk or whether I'm working with men or women with CEO Essence, for me, it's about living life to the fullest. And I think that comes through when I'm talking with people because I love life and I love the ups and downs and the roller coaster ride that happens with it. And I take every opportunity I can to learn and experience and just go with it.
Boy, it's such a pleasure to talk to you. I'm prompted to ask you if you had it all to do over again, you think you'd do the same thing you did? Would you follow the same path again?
Yes.
About that.
Yes.
Good for you.
Definitely.
Good for you. And would you encourage other women to follow in your footsteps now, today, the way things have changed?
I would encourage women to pursue what makes them happy. And if that means following my footsteps in that regard, by all means. And that's what I have done is I've pursued what makes me happy. And so by doing so, like you said, I have several businesses and I'm moving to Italy and I've traveled all over the world. And, you know, if being at home makes somebody happy, by all means, they should do that. So pursue what makes them happy, by all means.
That's good advice. One other question. You studied languages a lot. I know you speak Portuguese. Mm-hmm. Do you have an opportunity to use that language very often in your industry?
I do. So Risk actually has a sister company that I started in Brazil. And so it's Risk Consulting LTDA, and that is headquartered in São Paulo. So I do work in Brazil. Yes, in fact, I'm going there next month for a couple of weeks.
Renee, I'm so impressed with you. Thank you for taking the time to come back with
us.
I know you've been a guest here on these shows for quite some time. You're going to be back again in a week, and we're going to be talking about your fashion line. That I really find fascinating. So thank you for being with us. We love having
you. Thank you,
Dad. All right. Thanks, Renee. The marvelous Renee Murata. Be sure and join us next week when we find out about her clothing line. You're not going to believe this. This is too much. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Thanks for being with us. Nice to have you as our guest, for sure.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.